Welcome to Holden Village. The date is June 8th, 1995, and in the fireside room tonight, we're going to have a forum called Is Sabbath Working? So without further ado, here we go.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark Schwain, and this evening's forum is entitled Is Sabbath Working? I'd like to welcome all of you to this, the inaugural forum for the summer of 1995. For those of you who haven't before attended a forum at Holden Village, this is a long and venerable tradition, forums, you should know that the practice is to think together and speak together, that is to converse, which means it's not an exercise in sort of existential free association at one extreme, nor is it on the other extreme a kind of debate. It's instead a kind of joint endeavor to leave together with a deeper and richer comprehension of the kinds of issues that are set out in the center of us and to which we all give our best thoughts and attention. Tonight's title, Is Sabbath Working?, it has a deliberate double entendre about it. It could mean, on the one hand, is the practice of Sabbath actually working in our society and even more narrowly among ourselves? Or on the other side, is Sabbath just working, that people during the Sabbath continue to work? The subject really grew out of some sessions that have been going on this week, led by Dorothy Bass, on Christian practices, and more exactly, the practice of keeping Sabbath. But the whole subject, the whole broad subject of human labor and human work and people working together and the relationship between work and rest, the theology of creation and lots of other issues have been coming up here and there in a lot of the sessions and in a lot of conversation. To start us off tonight, we have a distinguished panel, and their challenge is to lay out some thoughts on this broad subject in 2 minutes or less. This will be a very difficult challenge for all of them, I'm sure. I've already gone over 2 minutes myself, but I have the excuse of being the moderator and having to kind of get the tape rolling. So let me introduce them for those of you who don't know them. To my far left is Mark Douglas, then Kathy Sorrells, then Peter Homer, and then Sven Westlund. And each of them is going to just set out some thoughts and reflections and ideas, and when they're finished, we open it up for the entire group. So why don't we begin with Sven?
I want to say that I grew up in a culture where you had Sunday off. Sunday was the Sabbath day. The shops were closed. Saturday wasn't what we know as the Saturday in the U.S. My father quit at 1 o'clock, and Saturday was one shorter hour of school, too. When I came to the United States, I came to a farm to work, and Saturday afternoon was the day off. And it taught me one thing, that to take time off is a matter of planning. The biblical talks about Sabbath that I pick up on is what you read in Genesis, where God rests on the seventh day. And I have taken that to mean that God tries to say, take a day off. You can't handle it all anyway. I'm in charge. Just rest. And the other is the third commandment. Before coming to Holden, I worked in a job. I was a carpenter, and I worked about 42 hours a week. We also had a business. I had an apiary and 140 hives of bees, and I was very active In the church, I served on the Synod Council and the Synod for 4 years. And I believe that I could do all that stuff because I took the Sabbath day off. On seventh day, I rested. And I believe that I have learned what it means to rest on the Sabbath. I'm not sure I've learned what it means to take the day holy, make the day holy.
Thank you. Peter.
Is the Sabbath working? Well, if it's worked, it is. That is, if one does it, I'm sure the Sabbath works. But in my answer, unequivocally, in the culture I come from, no. The tradition of Sabbath and rest and setting apart in the world in which I live is fast eroded. And it seems that we live in a growing area. The church is on the corner of the mall. I serve St. John by the mall. And the mall is open 7 days a week. And it is very common to go to church and go to the mall and on to the soccer game and home to cut the lawn. And this is the pastor talking, not the people. I feel the pace of suburban life is fast increasing. And when sixth graders are carrying calendars around, appointment books, which they do, I feel that this is a sign of the times, and that in my own family, and I think particularly in the helping professions and for ministers, I quote unquote work on Sundays, the Sabbath day, and increasingly, pastors' families, the spouse often works elsewhere outside the home. And my Sabbath day, my day off is Monday, and my spouse works on Monday. And I think one of the key things as I think about it is, yes, we should all be disciplined in taking time out to rest in and of ourselves. But I think the support of the community is necessary, even within the family. But as I understand the origins of this committee, this commandment, it was for the community. And there was support for keeping the Sabbath to the nth degree, as the Pharisees certainly showed Jesus, in the negative sense, but that was the norm. That sense of norm is gone. I think if we're going to recapture the Sabbath, that there's going to have to be some covenants, not just with myself, but with one or two or several people around me, whether it's Saturday, Wednesday, Tuesday, or Friday. That I'm going to have to be accountable to others within community to set that time apart for rest. I'm going over my 2 minutes. I think the busyness of our lives is really a denial of the grace of God. We think we have to do. And to me, in conclusion, I think the Sabbath is about being, letting God be God. And trusting God to run his universe without me for a change. And I really need to know that. And the harder we work, the more we deny God's providence. Thanks.
Thank you. I think that you've already set, between the two of you, one of the central themes, because I think both of you said in different words that the busyness of our lives is a denial of the grace of God. So that's something we'll want to pick up on later. But first, let's hear from first Mark and then Kathy.
Okay. Well, I have to say, Peter, that I was one of those sixth graders with the date books. From junior high on up, I think I was taught that ours is a culture in which encourages one to say yes. Yes to everything. Yes to a lot of different stuff. And the more yeses you can give, the better person you are, even if that ends up being a detriment to your own life, even if you end up working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that was pretty much my story, even up to and through my time at Holden. to when I left in 93. At that point, I had a chance to kind of take a look and realize what I was doing when I crash landed in Portland without any money, and decided to take what was in essence a sabbatical. I figured out how little money I could live on, what the minimum amount would be that I would need just to get by. Found a church that would provide that, and I played one day a week, and the other 6 days I had time. Time to cook food, to play music, to have conversations with my friends, to take long walks, to do lots of stuff for free. But to have time. And now that I'm kind of returning to the world and to the busyness of life, I think I'm learning how to say no, how to be aggressive and to take a space for myself. As a worship musician, also my Sabbath cannot be a Sunday. It never has been. And so usually I just take a day whenever I can and schedule everything around it. But my experience these last couple of years has taught me how desperate, simply for my own self, my own sanity, my own soul, a day of rest can be.
Thank you.
Hi. Yeah. Well, when I thought of the question, I thought first about what is Sabbath for me. And I thought of it as being sacred rest, a time of sacred rest. And somehow my mind didn't sit with sacred rest for very long. I was on to what does work mean. And so I thought quite a bit about what does work really mean in my life. And the first thing that I thought of or that came to me is that work is that which fills me. And when I'm not here at Holden, I do work in diversity and multicultural education and working on social justice issues and racism issues and homophobia and things. And that work does very much fill me. It also very much drains me. But in being filled, I feel that that is what I also give to others, is through being filled. And I thought about being here at Holden. You know, what have I been doing as work, and has that filled me? And would I call it work if my definition of work is that which fills me? And clearly, doing the carpentry work I've done here for me has filled me. It has really filled me. And I feel like through filling me, that gives to the community. So it feels like it's this flowing. Work is about something that flows from myself out to the community. Doing pottery fills me. Teaching fills me. And then I started thinking the other work I do here, and there's garbology, and there's dish team. And I thought, well, you know, in very odd ways, the first week I was here, I did garbology 3 times. And that filled me. There was something about that that filled me. And then so I began to think that work, perhaps, is not so much about what it is I'm doing, but how I approach it. So sort of more about the way of being that I have with the work that I'm doing. If I go into dish team with a certain attitude, that can fill me and that can feel like work in a way. If I go approach it in another way, it has a completely different feeling to it. So I thought of work and am thinking of work in the world as that which fills me. And I also then sort of moved on to think also about how work is that which allows the spirit to be a part of me. So it's that which I do that allows the spirit to be a part of me, because I feel like work is also writing to my family and keeping in touch with people that I love and care about and having relationships with friends. That fills me, and that's also work for me. And my challenge here at Holden in some ways has been to balance all of that. How do you fit all of that in, all that fills you? Both taking care of yourself and your own needs and taking care of your relationships with other people, whether they're here or at Holden, as well as doing the work that's here. And I think the wonderful thing, one of the wonderful things about being at Holden is that you separate yourself from the patterns and interactions that you have out in the world, and you have an opportunity to really look at what's going on. You have an opportunity to maybe change things and to question some of your assumptions about work and about life. and about what it means to work in life and what it means to rest in life. So I actually think that Holden provides us with an incredible opportunity to question the way we often have lived and to perhaps change that. But I also think that Holden needs to look at the ways and the patterns that it has around work. And those are just questions that I have as I've been here for 6 weeks.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, we have a foretaste of the feast to come here, a lot to chew on, so to speak. I'll just try to pluck out one theme and start us off on that one, and then we'll see where things go. As I indicated, it seemed to me that the first two speakers, Sven said that he kept always the Sabbath because you just can't do everything, and you have a reminder there that finally you're not in control and you can't by yourself do everything, which was one way of saying something like the same thing that Peter said more negatively when he said our busyness is a denial of the grace of God. And Peter also just observed flat out that our own culture just isn't keeping the Sabbath at all, that there's much in our world that militates against our being able to do that. The interesting thing was one of the things that Mark Douglas observed was that one of the things that got in the way of his being a Sabbath keeper was his being reared in a way that he always said yes, just a guy who couldn't say no, and so incurred a number of burdens and obligations and so on. And that really leads me to the first question I thought we might explore. Could one of the things that stands in the way of our Sabbath keeping be certain of our own understandings of Christianity? That is, do we remember the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath. In other words, that we basically are to be open to neighborly needs and all kinds of obligations, reared as he was, always to say yes. And so there's a sense in which we feel vaguely that observing the Sabbath would be somehow selfish. And so we tend then to be, quote, going the second and third mile, serving others who have needs and so forth. Could one of the things that stands in the way of our Sabbath keeping be a certain understanding of Christianity itself? That's my first question. Now, if you want to add other things you think stand in the way of it, that would be fine.
I don't know if I can respond to that, but some thoughts came to me, especially the saying yes sort of thing. I feel like I do that, and I say yes to a day off, too, and that sometimes compounds it a little bit. But something Sven said that conjured something in my mind is I grew up on a farm, too, and I just realized tonight, just now, that I got a mixed message about Sabbath. I grew up on a dairy farm, and cows do not wait for Monday. But we also went to church every Sunday, and we also had the afternoon together as a family and did things together, even if it was just taking a nap and reading the Sunday paper. So there was a mixed message that I got there, that I got both. Mm-hmm. On that day, but you did tend to the cows twice a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I relate to what Mark said there. As a church physician, you fall into a trap because people come with so many requests, and you almost feel it an obligation to say yes to everything. And I had a pastor who said to me, you know, you have to pray for the grace to say no. You know, and like Mark said, we not only have to learn to say no, but we have to pray for the grace to say no, and probably pray to be able to say no graciously.
Mm-hmm. Which, and Holden, I think, brings up an interesting conundrum or dilemma for us staff people who are at a Christian retreat center providing hospitality for guests. You know, which guest do you say no to, or which staff person, and can we say no?
rest of my life, it's myself often.
I think of the notion that the Sabbath of being only on one day of the week, and I am trying to create more mini Sabbaths during the week. Maybe expanding on that. I know there's just one day a week. I guess in the Bible it says on a certain day God rested, but that's the only time, and that's pretty dry too, I think. So I'm just trying to take more mini Sabbaths if I can. But maybe I call that something different than just, or maybe the preparation during your week, like you were talking about earlier, preparing for that Sunday, but taking some more time of reflection to prepare for that one day, I think would make it even more worthwhile. And I know it's hard if people have families and a lot of commitments too, that's tough.
Yes, Dorothy.
I think part of the wisdom of Sabbath keeping would lead in this direction by suggesting that certain ways of thinking, like God is gracious and I can't do everything, you know, God's in charge. So if you really learn that, in a sense, by some regular Sabbath keeping, it would spill out over into the other days. Abraham Heschel, the great Jewish scholar, said, the Sabbath cannot exist alone amidst days of profanity. Mm-hmm. So you learn something on Sunday that does carry through. But he would also say, you can't just get the idea. You have to actually do it to get the wisdom of it. You can't just have it in mind as an idea. And it makes me think of the possibility, your comment about not just little daily Sabbaths, which I think is one valid way to go, but also the rhythms of a year, and the way in which there might be times in a year. For instance, maybe at the peak of summer, one has to be extra, say yes more frequently, you know, but then there can be structures also where there are other times of rest, you know, times when people really give each other a break and let up and so on. Because I don't think we would want to get into a contractual way of thinking about saying yes, I must say no exactly this many times a week or else I'm being exploited. And that would become legalistic. And the genuine freedom of Sabbath wouldn't be there either, you know, if we were violating our own sense of relationship with people who stand in need.
You know, I find when I take a day off, it's not a Sabbath at all. It's just that I do stuff at home instead of pastoral stuff. And so the rest is not there. Treasure deeply vacation time, because it takes me 3 or 4 days just to come down to the point where I really am resting. And I'm cherishing these 2.5 months of not having to do anything and perish, and which is a Sabbath, the sabbatical is. Mm-hmm. Just kind of resting and recharging.
We're talking about Sabbath as a surcease of work, as time off, as not doing our jobs. It seems to me that the experience I have of Jews who keep Torah is that it's a witness. We live in Berwick, a section of Columbus that has a sizable Jewish population and a very Orthodox synagogue. And winter and summer, I see on Saturday Jews walking to the synagogue. Rob knows what I'm talking about, because we've all seen that. it has a very paradoxical and wonderful side effect. We live in one of the few stable, integrated areas, blacks 40%, whites 60%. But it's necessary because the Jews can't flee from their buildings. So they keep selling their houses to other Jews, and the neighborhood stays integrated. And I mean, this is wonderful, because our children can grow up without being culturally deprived. And but the main point is that on Saturdays, pushing prams, walking with families, the boys and the men all wearing their yarmulkes, there is a positive witness that is taking place. And it's quite obvious that these people are Jews. It's quite obvious where they are walking. It's quite obvious why they are walking. And there's a witness going on. So it seems to me that one of the things that ought to be asked, I suppose, is can we, biblically based, think just in terms of having a day off, simply a surcease from labor? Because that's not witness, and it's not... It can't be seen. It's not headed towards something. It's not pointing towards something. The move from Saturday to Sunday among the disciples of Jesus was a positive witness. Sunday was the eighth day. It was the eschatological day. It was a sign that the fulfillment of hope and expectation was on the scene, and that that now we had an extra incentive to engage in some act of very creative witness to the arrival of the eschatological age, the messianic age. The time is really here, and we're on the cusp of that. So I think the first thing is that we really have to ask about the quality of our witness. I don't think that witness is taking place among Christians in the same way that it's taking place among Jews. And now I have to ask, what does it mean then for all of us who are the church professionals and who think of what we do on Sundays as work? I would like sometime to have rabbinic guidance in why the synagogue and the assembly, the coming together, isn't work. Mm-hmm. How is it not work for a rabbi, for a cantor, for all the people who are required to do what we do in the Christian assembly? How is it not work? And that's a good question. I think one of the problems is that we keep inventing what we do when we gather all the time. We are always doing something brand new, instead of falling into just wonderful old things that don't have to be invented every Sunday. Patterns of song and response and readings and whatever, rituals, with which we are so familiar that they really aren't work anymore. Maybe part of our problem is that we keep having to invent everything every Sunday. So I don't know what it means, and I keep asking at Holden here, what does it mean for us to have a Sabbath that is a witness when the boats come loaded on Sundays and housekeeping and everything has to be done? How could this I don't know how Holden could become a place of witness in this respect, which is more than just taking a day off.
Well, let's explore that. I mean, I think in a way, one of the things at the heart of what you said is some of the same issues that Kathy was trying to get at when she described work as something that fills her, and then listed a number of things, including writing letters to friends and so on. And really what your statement does is to raise the question, what is the counterpoint to work? Is it play? Is it idleness? Is it worship? Is it celebration? Is it recreation? In other words, if we could explore for a minute, if we're going to talk about Sabbath keeping, what that means. I've heard you reject the notion on biblical grounds that it means idleness, that's the counterpoint to work, just to kind of sit idly and stare into space, or worse yet, at a television set. But the question of what is the opposite, you introduced notions like worship, witness, recreation. You mentioned in passing soccer games, and I wondered whether or not you thought going to soccer was consistent with Sabbath keeping, or you meant that it wasn't. But anyway, it seems to me the issue now in front of us is, what's the counterpoint to work such that we should keep the Sabbath by engaging it? That's really the question.
You know, it strikes me that there's just tension in no matter how we define these words that we're working with. Because I think about the counterpoint of work for me, and I'm thinking, and I keep thinking about rest, maybe it's just after my first day at the kitchen and I'm just exhausted. it strikes me that, you know, often I'm hearing in our definitions there's a physicality, just a visceral sense, but there also is a spiritual resting place and an emotional resting place, and oftentimes those can be in tension. Like, you know, if I finally stop being stimulated from the outside, I might have to sit and realize I'm uncomfortable with my spiritual journey or something like that, you know. And so it strikes me that, I don't know, that this is, even talking about Sabbath can be tension filled.
Mm. Nice. Other insights into this notion of what the counterpoint is?
Oh, I don't know about counterpoint, but I'm thinking back. I'm having a Sabbath here. Jan's idea of Sabbath moments along and along through life is something, or through a day, is something that I respond to positively. Sometimes I think I work too hard. Very often my work fills me, as Kathy says. And often my work is also worship. When I'm eating bread, I'm saying her names. That's an act of worship, to prepare your meals. So these Sabbath moments come. Grab them, friends.
But I think that I need to have time long enough to settle into the quiet, that we're so used to these blips, you know, these 3-minute things. You know, we can get the politicians give it to us in 3 minutes, and, you know, we get this quickness in our life. And I think it takes longer, you need more than a moment to settle out and to figure out what else is in you that is seeking expression. And so stopping the ordinary and allowing the stillness and dealing with the discomfort to see what wants to speak to you, what it is that you might want to explore, not explore, but I think, for me, I need that a length of time. I mean, I can kind of fake my way through an hour, you know. I mean, it's easier. You have an empty hour. You know, you never know what to do with it. It's too precious. You know, I got an hour. What can I do in this hour? But what can I do? And I think when we say keep the Sabbath holy, me holy and looking in terms of holistic and my position in the universe and who am I in this creation, kind of, I need to broaden out things and I need a lot of time to do that in. You know, I find Sundays at Holden uncomfortable because of all the busyness that we have to do here. And it is, in some ways, lonely to take a Sabbath alone on a day off. I mean, as it happens, my day off is Sunday. But if I want to be part of the Eucharistic community, then I'm in the village to do that. So, you know, the tension is, how can I have community and Sabbath and still meet the needs of hospitality of what we're doing? I find even as a guest, when I was a guest, I didn't like Sundays. Because we're off, I mean, we never get Eucharist. We're gone. By the time we get home, there's no supper waiting for us. There's no meal before we go. You know, we do matins, but there's no Eucharistic meal for those who leave on that bus. And so they may have come in on a Sunday and they did liturgy, but they won't do it for two more weeks. And personally, I would find that hunger-making.
I think one of my problems with Sabbath is that I, given my Missouri upbringing, tend to define Sabbath very narrowly. I think it means being God-focused, and for me that includes reading the Bible or other, you know, explicitly theological books, writing about God, having conversations about God. And that does fill me, but like Kathy, I have other things that I find very fulfilling, like writing poetry. But that comes out of like an anger and a kind of a despair and some other emotions that aren't directly related to God. So it fills me, and yet I feel that it's a selfish thing to do, that it is not appropriately Sabbath. Maybe my definition is too narrow, but that's something I struggle with, is what is Sabbath? Can we be selfish on Sabbath?
It sounds like you're trying to please God with Sabbath, and actually God's been trying to please you with Sabbath. I mean, it's very clear, we did a Bible study on this on Monday, and it's just very clear that it is a gift. And for Jewish people, I mean, mourning stops. If you're in mourning, you do not do it on Sabbath. You know, it is a good deed to have intercourse for married couples on the Sabbath. It's one of the numbered good deeds of Judaism. I mean, feasts, just the hymns are all, you're not supposed to pray petitionary prayers, you're supposed to pray prayers of thanksgiving. I mean, it's just really quite amazing. And it seems to me it's a gift, which I think would say, write your poetry, you know, be yourself. But then the question of whether, once we're back in the world, you like Peter's testimony about the suburban lifestyles, and it's true in cities also, and farmers probably even go to the mall now on Sunday afternoons. It's really a wrench on it. There's it's just objectively true that the American people are more sleep deprived than they were 20 years ago, and than people in other countries are. You know, that people at all levels of the economic range, except for the chronically unemployed, which is another terrible dimension of the overwork for some and the underwork for others. There's just a lot of stress that's structured into the economy, and it's structured into the entertainment industry, and it's structured into all kinds of things. It makes it very, very difficult. I think that it's unlikely that we can really free up some time for ourselves and our worshiping communities and our families if we're not willing to step out of that American rat race a little bit. And it could get potentially pretty radical.
I think one of the best things that I learned about Sabbath this year, I taught Sunday school, which was good for me because it compelled me to be at church and to be there early, and I always went because I had, you know, these kids. And during finals week, I went and taught Sunday school one Sunday and came home instead of going to church afterwards. And I think I went back to sleep or had some breakfast or something, but I you know, I didn't watch television. I kind of did things that I needed to do. And I was telling my roommate that I felt guilty for coming home instead of staying for church, and she looked at me and she said, "It's a day of rest." But that was very important, because I think sometimes you're more rested by a little bit of downtime than by a very structured worship service. And there, you don't always have to be doing worship. You can be taking this gift from God as rest or as whatever you need without necessarily having to feel guilty about it. I think church is really important, but there are days when you get more out of going back to bed.
Or as one of my friends says, we worship at Our Lady of the Springs. For a long time, I thought that was an actual parish, and then I suddenly realized, oh, a mattress. I hadn't made the connection. Yes, Peter. Well,
when I think of what makes me work on my day off and add extra meetings just because they have to be, it's fear. It's fear that the kingdom won't happen. Without my effort, that whether it's the lawn, weeds in the lawn, that piece of the kingdom, or the building committee, or the Sunday school, or my place in the soccer standings, the fear-driven action, and that's why Sabbath is a statement of faith. That all is well, that we live in the eighth day, that witness, and I've been fantasizing about Holden stopping, and I haven't been here even 7 days, or any place. We say nurses have to work, and cows need to be milked, and beds need to be changed, and yet we can eat rice today. We can do that. Well, what if everybody's got to make peanut butter sandwiches at least for the middle day of 1 day at Holden? I don't know that. I mean, down to the kitchen maybe, or, you know, at least that. I mean, maybe that'd be a neat thing to do sometime. I was thinking about people taking their days off at Holden on different days, and this whole idea of community. That pretty lonely thing to do. Where's the party where we all kick back? I mean, not, you know, when you have a chance to make the schedule. And to me, that's what the banquet's about. I like what Sven said, you have to plan for it. But I think part of the fun is planning together. But for me, that's why I say it's not believing in the grace of God that we don't take steps. And a common economic thing. I think we're driven increasingly to two-income families, et cetera, which means we're covering the kids and this and that and that and that, and when we get our time together, even within our own church, that is our family, it doesn't happen because of we're afraid we're not going to catch the American dream. And it's not a faith-based lifestyle. And just the very act of surrendering to the emptiness of a day is a statement of faith. And I have a terrible time without being useful. But if the Lord can rest and say that was enough, I'm going to do better than God.
we do more than we need to do. And I really came home to me one night many years ago. Someone called me up and said, "You busy tonight?" And I said, "Yeah, I got Sunday school teachers meeting." He said, "That's too bad. I have 4 tickets to the World Series." And I said, "You know, I think the Sunday school teachers can get along without me."
We do, in the winter community, when we're not as many at Holden, take about once a month, we just stop. And as you were talking, I was reminded of that, and reminded that so much of what happens on that day is around food, even though the kitchens and they're cooking. People invite one another over. people plan their own sort of thing, but maybe that's not true for everybody. Some other people can talk, but it seems like I'm remembering it from those days when we stopped, is that we gathered, you know, together in smaller groups and in chalets and prepare food for one another and enjoy conversation. If we could just figure out how to do that with 400 people.
It's a simulation game.
Well, I think that, again, the view of Holden's life on this matter depends a little bit on that key question of what you regard as the counterpoint of work. If you regard it as idleness or rest, then you're troubled. If you think of it as recreation, there is a lot in Holden's life, I find, that points toward the Eucharistic meal, including the big feast normally on Sunday noon, including the fact that there is no programming on Sunday. That's a little bit less. But mainly it's the question of the anticipatory, it's back to our theme, foretaste of the feast to come. If you think of it as celebration and involving hospitality and other things like that, then it's not quite as troublesome that we don't just kind of shut down and have, you know, the whole village idly standing by or doing whatever else it would do in those moments. But if you think of it as something else, then it's not quite as worrisome. So I suppose it might be worthwhile thinking of other, who was it that said it's fun to collaborate in the planning? I guess you did, Peter. Fun to collaborate in planning how one could make the observance of Sabbath at Holden better, which would be a concrete way of getting at what do we think the counterpoint of work would be, and so on. Anybody have other ideas on that subject?
Something that strikes me, I like the term that you use, counterpoint, in that Sabbath is possibly a time of balance for everything else that we do in our lives. Normally we lead a very ordered existence. Our culture is a very ordered existence. Here is definitely a very ordered existence. We live and breathe and eat by the bell. And it strikes me that we could have a day where we operated by kairotic time, on God's time, and allowed ourselves to be surprised, allowed ourselves to be open to something new. And it's a frightening thing, I think. Especially if we're used to having our lives ordered all the way through, to have an open space like that. But I think it's frightening just because we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with Mark Getches today. We were talking about what would happen if the food wasn't served on time. We came up with the idea that perhaps we could say, the meal will be served, the new meal, sometime after the sun passes over the top of that tree. And we should do the same thing there. Just see how it works out. That's a lot of pressure, having to get that meal on the table at, what is it, 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
5 o'clock?
7:30.
If we had tried the sun passing over the tree this last Sunday, though, we'd have waited a long time since it was dreary and we couldn't see the sun. Yes, back in the back.
To follow up on the notion of balance with Sabbath, if you think of Sabbath as a time when you stop doing whatever it is that you usually do, and reflect upon things and to get spiritually reconnected with God and with each other, and that it's a time of spiritual replenishment and to get back into perspective what it is that you normally do, with that time to step back away from your usual whatever it is activity and think about where that is in the scheme of things, where you are in the scheme of things, and what an activity that helps you keep in balance, right action for right reason, so that whatever it is that you do is on the path, on track, and that you haven't sort of manufactured your own way of being with whatever it is that you usually do. As you say, if you're a minister, you think the kingdom will not continue without your efforts, and you need some perspective that yes, in fact, it will. It doesn't really matter what you identify as work. It's time out from your usual activity. Maybe you're a housewife and mother, and you need some time to reflect and replenish and renew and do something spiritual, but mostly to be spiritually connected to each other. So that in some sense, if you're engaged in worship on that Sabbath, that is a spiritual, we would hope, reconnection. And that's my notion of Sabbath, is that it's that time that's set aside to balance by reconnecting spiritually.
Well, that does pick up the remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that brings us way back to one of Sven's first comments that I wanted to hear you unpack, which was, you said you thought you had done a pretty good job in your life of keeping the Sabbath, but you weren't sure about whether you had kept it holy or something like that. Isn't that how you put it?
Yeah.
And what did you mean by that? And let's see if we can get more deeply into this whole question of keeping holy.
I think it connects to how I started by saying that I grew up in a community where Sunday was a day off. So I learned that to do something completely other, but I certainly didn't learn what it meant to keep the Sabbath holy. And I don't think I've ever seen that any place where I would say after Sunday, we kept the Sabbath holy. I believe it's something you do in community.
But I'm Which I think quite picks sure up on your point, right?
Day with it.
Okay. Yes, first.
One thing that I struggle with is to figure out which are the things that I do that make me unholy. I'm sure there are many, many of them, but I'm just more aware of my bondage in this area. So I do not deal with money on, from Saturday night to Sunday night. I do not pay bills, enter a store, do my tax returns, look through catalogs.
Does it go home shopping
anymore? No. It's been about 1.5 years, and you know, I might go. I mean, Charlie and somebody at the drugstore, I'll go. It's not a legalistic thing, but you know, turning the corner from stores to catalogs was a big step for me, and you know, it feels good, and I think I've actually even probably not bought a few things that I wouldn't have bought. I didn't do it for that reason, but I don't see any way that there's going to be much Christian renewal in this or any other part of life without some stepping off of the overwork, overspend cycle, which is a whole cycle. This is an ancient holding theme.
It is an ancient holding theme. Enough is enough.
And I'm not saying I'm very good at it, but there is this one place that I have carved out. And I'm sure that I have not bought things because the only time I would have had to buy them would have been to go shopping on Sunday, and I didn't. So, just an idea. But there might be other like tender places in different people's lives where they could find something similar.
I think the community aspect on the Sabbath and being with, quote, family, which makes it a challenge for me, an unattached person, and I'm trying to find ways to connect and maybe find extended family or something. So that's kind of what I've done. I've tried it, but it's hard because everyone's busy.
Right.
Everyone's into
yes.
their own thing.
Yes.
I'm struggling a little bit with the conversation, and possibly it's because I don't spend a lot of time in community in a Christian context. And My background is Christian. However, I would say my leanings are much more towards Buddhism and Taoism. And the underlying assumption that there's a distinction between work and Sabbath, that there is a counterpoint, that those two are very different and distinct, is, as I think, the way that we often live our lives. But I'm just, the question I keeps coming up for me is the question, are they different? Mm-hmm. And in my thoughts about work, it's about, in some ways, it's about work for me is a way of the Spirit filling me. And part of my job, I feel like, is removing the things that block that. And so that the Spirit can fill me all the time. So in fact, that I feel that every day and every moment and everything I do is a Sabbath. And now that's a very different reading from the what you all are talking about in terms of Sabbath and work. And I just put it out as a way to look at it differently than we have so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marcia Sintar's book, Ordinary People as Monks and Mystics, talks about this very point of reorganizing our lives so that we are working, not doing jobs, which jobs being things that don't fill us, work being things that we do. Mm-hmm. And it's very inspiring to hear how people have been able to organize their lives such that they don't feel like they need to take time out of their life, but they're constantly living their life in a way that's life-giving and nourishing and spiritual.
And even given that, I feel there are times when I need to set aside sacred time, which I would call Sabbath, that's separate from the ordinary time. But I'm hoping that we can allow this sense of what the Sabbath is about to be integrated into what we call work, whether that's at Holden or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's an excellent counterpoint, since that word has been used in more than one context in which to wind up our conversation. It's now 9:30, and we try to be prompt. Want to thank everyone for attending so closely to the issues and helping each other think through these matters. The goal of Holden Forums are not to resolve issues, but to deepen one's hunger for further conversation. And I think that this first one, thanks to all of you, has been quite successful in that regard. I suspect there's going to be a lot more conversation in the village about these issues. So, have a good evening. Paul?
A long time ago, we used to sing in young people's groups, take time to be holy, take time to be holy, take time to be holy. I don't know the last line.